Parksy.com.
Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Thanks, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much again for giving up your time to listen to you. Very much.
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I know you're fine, so.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Yeah, of course, no problem.
Cool, I'll begin. So, are you happy with the new season of Internet Icon?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this season of Internet Icon was really incredible. I mean, we had the first season, you know, both Ryan and I kind of sat there as we met contestants, and we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. We didn't know what the caliber of the show would be and how people would react. So coming into season two, you know, we were just so blown away by season one and like the heartfelt relationships people made and watching how people grew throughout the competition. That season two, I feel like a lot of the contestants really came in with guns blazing. They were fans of season one. They knew that what they wanted to do. People came in with a real sure sense of themselves. And that's what's been so interesting. Everybody knows kind of, this is me, this is my channel, this is what I would do. And I feel like that set the bar almost higher with. So it's just been really fascinating, and you know, I think both Ryan, Tim, and I, we all just felt like, God, these people are in it to win it. Like they are incredibly talented filmmakers and content creators, and it was really astounding.
Cool. So why do you think it has taken off then?
I think, you know, in YouTube, there's a real sense that you can be anybody. You can do anything. As long as you can grow a followership and a subscription base, you know, this is your brand of comedy. And it doesn't take, you know, a full movie studio. You can be that kid with the flip video. And I think there's a real sense of, like, freedom in that. I think people really gravitate towards it because it's that kind of, you know, defunct sense of like the American dream, that you can, you know, if you want to be a director or a filmmaker or a personality or a comic, you know, you put your stuff out there and you see where it lands. And so many people, especially young people, have done it and have been so successful at it, they've become sort of stars in their own right. I mean, there's a YouTube community where, I mean, I could rattle off, you know, 10 of the top names, and probably people in, you know, other areas of the film industry would have no idea what I was talking about. But these people, you know, are a lot of attention and a lot of traffic. And that's becoming a very powerful tool, I think, especially as our entertainment capacity and the way we watch it grows to a global scale. It's not just, you know, watching a network anymore. It's about, oh, I could be watching the same thing someone in, you know, Singapore. The real sense of like a global platform and that global sharing, I think is what's so exciting for people.
So what was it like to work with Dean Cain?
Oh, he was lovely. We actually had met years ago when he was doing Lois and Clark, because we used to film Step by Step on the same lot. And I think we had met at like some kind of company function. But he was, I hadn't, you know, seen him or really met him as an adult or worked with him. And I just had such a great time with him. He's such a sweetheart, nice guy. You know, he's a dad, and talked a lot about his son, and just so lovely to everybody around. We really had a great time together.
So what was the film a fun experience to work on?
Oh yeah, it was great. It'll come out, I think, this Christmas. It's a, you know, it's a very sweet family Christmas story. He plays a single dad, I play a single mom. I moved to this new town. He's sort of down on his luck and having a really bad holiday. And, you know, a lot of things suddenly sort of turn his way and kind of make him a believer in that spirit of Christmas again. So it's a very sweet movie, something that you could definitely like watch with your family. And yes, I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool. So what was it like to work on the Veronica Mars movie?
Oh, it was a blast. We did, you know, I did an episode a long time ago on the TV show, and I was reprising my role as Susan Knight in the movie, and it was really fun to see the cast getting back together again. I had known Jason Doring for a while, and since we were kids in acting class, so to get to see him sort of back on set, I hadn't seen him in forever, and You know, I hadn't seen Kristen in quite a while since she had had her baby. So it was really fun. There was such a great sense of camaraderie. Everyone seemed like they were, you know, they got right back into the groove. And the great thing about the movie is, you know, it's a lot of it is fan funded. They did a lot of their fundraising on Kickstarter. And it was kind of incredible to see the way that fans were there and like being interactive to the process and getting to, you know, be extras in the background of some scenes and just so excited. It's a really cool way, I think, to interact with the people who are basically helping you make the film. And I can't say much about the actual content of the movie because I'm bound legally to give away any plot points, but I will say this: I think Rob Thomas did a bang up job on the script, and he's just lovely to work for, and I think the fans are going to be very happy with the way that the movie turns out. I think it's going to be another sort of saga in the Veronica Mars life. So you get to see her a little more grown up, and I think fans will really be attracted to that.
Cool. So do you think Kickstarter and services like it will be the way of the future for filmmaking and making movies?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a little early to tell. Obviously, Veronica Mars sort of set the bar there. I think crowdsourcing will be a big part of why something that has a niche market, like I've talked about, will get made. I don't know, you know, if it will work for everything. I think there's been a little bit of a backlash to it, and it'll be interesting to see sort of what's the stuff that will get made and what's the stuff that won't be able to cut through that clutter. You know, just because you're a recognizable face doesn't necessarily mean that people want to give you money to go make something. I think it's got to, you know, people are going to get a little more savvy into what do they really want to see. You know, perfect example with Veronica Mars, it has such a big fan base. You know, I think if, say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, if they were out to make a movie, I'm sure they would find that they would probably be able to raise quite a lot of money because there is still such a rabid fan base for that show. But for something that's just, you know, Zach Braff trying to make a movie about XYZ, you know, it seems like there was quite a bit of backlash to that. So I think it has more to do with what people really want to get more of. And feeling like you're already a fan of something, I think, makes people more inclined to see what the next trilogy of that storyline would be.
Cool. So you're working on a new movie called Bethlehem. What's that about, and how did the role come about for you?
Well, I'm friends with these two guys, Jordan Ross, Matt McInnes, who I met when I was doing Hellcats up in Vancouver. Matt was a writer's assistant, and he and his partner Jordan have been writing and producing new works for a while now. They're young and aggressive, and they're just really good writers. And we had previously met on another project, and they kind of came to me with this script. It's something that they've had in their back pocket for a while. It's sort of their dream indie role, and asked me to read it and with a role in mind. And I love their writing. I've been big fans of them for a while. The movie is sort of a coming-of-age drama, very similar to sort of like a Stand By Me, but it's got that tone of Friday Night Lights, which I love that TV show. This movie is based more in the arena of baseball, and it takes place in, you know, the 90s, and about a kid who, you know, grows up in a baseball family and sort of lives out this legacy of his father and his grandfather. And, you know, it's that idea that, like, doing something that you, if, when you have a dream, if you can pursue it, and like, all the people that are surrounding you, whether it's your family and your friends, your community, and what, you know, what a sport can mean to people in that community. I think that's where that sort of Friday Night Lights tie comes in. But I'm a big sports fan, and I also just really love their writing. So I'm really excited. I mean, we're going to be, speaking of crowdsourcing, we'll be crowdsourcing on Indiegogo starting pretty soon. And, you know, we'll see what we do. It's a great script. And I think they're getting some really good people involved. So it would be a blast to do it. I'd love to try to help them make the movie.
Cool. So you did something for the E-Network. Was that a fun thing to do?
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, I've done a couple of things for them. I recently did a show called The Soup Investigates, which is a spinoff of The Soup with Joel McHale. And I think that was just a trial. It was like a one-time special. And it was so much fun. I was like a correspondent, much like in The Daily Show. And but they're, you know, ridiculous storylines, and it looks like they might be picking that show up. So I would love to come back for that. And then the thing I was just doing was another pilot for E, more in the game show, pop culture setting. Can't talk too much about it because we're waiting to see if it gets picked up, but I'm crossing my fingers. I think it has a pretty good shot. And it was a blast to do. I absolutely loved it. So I would really love to have my Kelly Ripa moment on the E! Network. It was really fun. I'm really happy to be part of that E! Family.
That's cool. This, now, changing the tone a little bit, but so Corey from Glee died. Do you think there's a bit much of a support network for people that are going through troubled times, drugs and alcohol, people, other actors they can talk to? Or is everyone in their own way?
You know, it's so hard to say. I mean, there are people obviously in the limelight that have drug problems and people outside of the limelight that have drug problems. You know, I think it's such a sad story. I think especially obviously when you're well known or famous, I have to imagine that the opportunities that are presented to you of temptation when you already have, you know, something that, you know, you have a disease. You being an addict is you have a disease that you have to constantly control and monitor, much like any other kind of disease. I think it's just more prevalent, you know, to be subjected to all kinds of temptations when you're in the limelight or you make a lot of money. And I mean, that's obviously, you know, it costs a lot of money to do a lot of drugs. So, you know, there's that. The thing that's so hard about, I think drug abuse is that when people go through rehab and, you know, they try to take control of it, they don't realize that doing it one time, it's enough to kill you. And, you know, any major drugs in that capacity, one time could kill anyone. So, you know, you really walk that tightrope every time you decide to do drugs. It's just sort of the sadness of the sickness that is being an addict. And I think getting help is a difficult thing to do, and having the right support system around you at all times is also challenging. So it's very sad, and he was a very talented young man, and I don't think anyone would deny that. And, you know, my heart definitely goes out to his family and his loved ones, the people that were on that set and worked with him so closely. I don't know what it's like to lose someone to drugs. I've never been close to someone who I've lost, but I have known plenty of people that have gotten help. And, you know, I think it's for young people, if they can take anything away from that, it's to definitely seek help when they have a problem and to support their friends in the right ways.
Yeah, because I just watched something that Brad Ruffino said in his last interview. He said this master thing, don't, he said to me, he gave one piece of advice, he said, don't be involved in the party scene, just focus on your work and you'll be better off for it, which I thought was fairly true, so.
Yeah, especially in Hollywood, you know, or in the arts, I think it's much, granted, if you were an investment banker, I think you could probably find a party scene too, but I think it's much more prevalent in the kind of crowd that you can find yourself running in. You know, artists are notoriously very avant-garde kind of people and out and up late. And, you know, we just mix with different kinds of people. And I think some of that is wonderful and amazing. And some of that can kind of go into a very dark side. So, you know, I certainly I've been offered drugs many times in my life, and it's just never, you know, hard drugs have just never been something that have interested me. So I'm lucky in that regard. And I'm also scared shitless of doing drugs because I've just seen it destroy so many people's lives. So I've never gotten myself involved in it. But there's definitely, you know, a lot of temptation. And you know, it's an epidemic, I think, everywhere, not just Hollywood. But it's sad when you see somebody lose their life because it just feels like a waste.
Yeah. So what's one thing you don't like about Hollywood?
Gosh, I can only choose one.
You got plenty. Go for it.
Well, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. There's all ups and downs in every sort of business. I think in Hollywood in general, you know, this town, Los Angeles, Hollywood, whatever you want to call it, is sort of a town that I think is built on dreams. And while in one respect that's a really sort of inspiring thing, in the other respect, you know, there's a lot of desperation and there's a lot of I don't know, people that are they hang all of their hopes and expectations and self-worth on this idea of who they can be or who they want to be. And it's I guess it I, that's what really at the core that I don't like is that feeling of, you know, that feeling of desperation of people trying to be something that they're not. So people say that LA is fake. I think that's a very easy way of saying that, yeah, I think that there's a lot of desperation underneath people's sort of over boosting of their self-confidence to try to make them seem one way or another. And, you know, I've been in this business so long and I've been around it so long and, you know, you have highs and you have lows, you have ups and downs. It's a roller coaster. And I think the way to sort of avoid those pathetic pitfalls is to have a good sense of self and to continually move the ball forward in whatever it is that you're doing, whether that's a play or whether that's a TV show or whether that's something you're writing or something you're creating. You know, I think that's a way to continually keep relevant and, you know, and have your creative juices flowing versus trying to, I don't know, trying to sort of play that social game that I just find so tedious and tiring. So I guess that's what I don't really have a lot of, I don't have a lot of patience for it much anymore.
Cool. So have you had any bad experiences as an actor?
Oh, sure. I've had a couple. I mean, I've been pretty lucky, you know. I tend to be a person that just kind of rolls with the punches. Being an actor, you're sort of, people always think it's the most glamorous job on set, but I have to be honest, it's definitely one of the most tedious because, you know, you're at the beck and call of the production. So you're there to service the production. And you could get there at 6 a.m. and be put through hair and makeup and not film anything for 12 hours. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And then you might film your scene, which is really amazing and wonderful, and then find out it wasn't even cut into the movie. So to feel like, you know, all your time and energies and efforts are sometimes wasted is can be, you know, disheartening and frustrating. But that's just the name of the game. I mean, you can't even really complain about that. That's, you know, that's the name of the game. I guess a bad experience would be, you know, working with, you know, working with rude people. Working with people that really have no regard for anyone else—that's tough. Nobody likes to do that, no matter what business you're in, I think. So I've had a couple of questionable experiences with other actors that have, you know, haven't been fantastic. But again, you gotta kind of like, you know, roll with the punches and do the best work you can. So, you know, I can't say I'd be looking forward to working with Lindsay Lohan anytime soon, but that was unfortunately my experience. But maybe she's in a better place now. Who knows?
Cool, so what would we find you listening to at the moment?
Oh, music-wise?
Yes.
Well, I've been listening to some new music. You know, City in Color has always been one of my favorite bands, and they've come out with some really nice new music lately. I have to say, I'm really a classic rock girl at heart. So
Sweet.
I have a turntable and I collect vinyl. So whatever I find at the vinyl store or the record store that all, you know, looks interesting, I'll collect and kind of, I have this habit of wearing a record out for months upon months until, you know, my boyfriend says, I can't listen to that record anymore. We've got to get some more. So, but it's fun. You know, we don't really listen, especially if you do Pandora or anything like that, you tend to listen to a lot of different stuff. I find that it's fun to go back and listen to an entire album because you forget some gems, you know, that are on certain albums, especially the B-sides. So I've been listening to like Lionel Richie and John Lee Hooker and what else? The Doobie Brothers and Fleetwood Mac and Crosby, Stills and Nash. I've been listening to a lot of that kind of stuff lately. But I in the summertime I go to the Hollywood Bowl a lot and see some of the concerts there. And I've been listening to some more of the world music that was there. And I was recently turned on to oh, what did we just see? We just saw something great. Gabriella and
Rodriguez.
Sorry?
Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yes, we just saw them on last 2 Sundays ago. Oh my gosh, they are fantastic. Really amazing guitarists, and it to get to see them live and do what they do. It was just the two of them, and then they brought a piano player on for a couple of songs, but they were really, really amazing. And then I'm going back to see Steve Martin and Edie Brickell next month, which I'm also really excited about because I've never seen Steve Martin play live.
Never vibe, but I've heard good things though.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
What's been some of your favorite movies at the moment that you've seen recently that's you've gone wow?
I'm the worst. I haven't seen anything since Continuum. I'm terrible. I just have not been to the movies at all this summer. I didn't really enjoy Continuum. Unfortunately, that was the Tom Cruise movie. I like Tom Cruise a lot, but I just didn't really love the movie. Was that the name of it? I think it was. Oh, I was bored.
Yes, it is.
So I to be honest with you, I haven't actually seen a whole lot. I've been watching a lot of I have Netflix now, so I've been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix that I haven't seen. Old movies and a lot of documentaries. I love documentaries, so I've gotten really into a couple different documentaries. And then, like I said, I'm obsessed with Friday Night Lights, so I am one of the people who didn't see it all the way through, and I'm watching it back from the beginning, which has been really fun. So don't tell me what happens.
I've never seen it, so.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great series.
So what's next for yourself?
Well, we have the Internet Icon finale on Saturday, which is going to be really interesting. We have three amazing finalists this year, Matthias and Bad Weather Films and the Clunes. So I'm very curious who the viewership is going to choose. I think there's a couple of favorites in there, and there have been since the beginning. So I will be very, very curious. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of Internet Icon first seasoners there, plus a lot of our guest judges. That's going to be a huge day down at the YouTube space. So really preparing for that, which is great. And then, yeah, I'm doing a couple of other projects this fall. One of them might be this E show. So we'll see about that. And then we're going to be starting a bunch more Worst Ever shows, which is the show that I created and produced here in Los Angeles. We'll have more in September, October, and November. And I think we started with audition stories, but I think this fall we're going to probably open it up to worst survival job, worst sex ever, and then maybe a worst audition mashup. So stay tuned for more on that. That's worstauditionever.com.
Cool. Thanks very much for your time
Yeah.
again. Appreciate it. Love what you do as an actor, and I appreciate you giving up time to talk to little me down in Melbourne. So I appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing what you do next, and keep up the good work. You're a great
Absolutely.
actor.
Parksy.com.